on social media.
I've made one of the toughest decisions of my life and decided that I will not be running for re-election to the United States Senate. But what I will be doing is traveling the country and speaking out to see if there is an interest in creating a movement to mobilize the middle and bring Americans together.
Manchin hasn't made a formal announcement about a presidential run next year, but there's speculation that he could run as a third-party candidate. As for his Senate seat, analysts believe Republicans could pick it up in 2024. West Virginia has been a solid red state for decades. Overseas, Israel has agreed to daily four-hour humanitarian pauses in northern Gaza to get aid in and people out. Correspondent Robert Berger.
Each day you're going to have these corridors. The idea is to get Palestinian civilians out of the war zone so that Israel can attack the headquarters and command centers of Hamas there in Gaza City and perhaps rescue some of the hostages.
Meantime, attacks continue. CBS News producer Marwan Al-Ghul had a close call with an airstrike today in Gaza.
A massive airstrike hit this house full of civilians who displaced from north to the south. And the people are trying now by their bare hands to pull out the bodies and injure people.
Over the last week, Israeli airstrikes have killed dozens of Hamas commanders. Actors could get back to work soon in Hollywood. SAG reached a tentative deal to end a nearly four-month-long strike. Chris Murphy's covered the negotiations with Vanity Fair.
People are very proud that they held firm and they received protections against AI, compensation bumps for background performers. I think people are really happy from the deal.
SAG's board will review that agreement tomorrow. A black riverboat co-captain at the center of a big brawl in Alabama that went viral this summer is now facing assault charges. Court records show one of the white men involved filed a complaint last month. It started because white boaters refused to move their pontoon. And gas prices are falling fast across the country.
Prices are going down to pump up. Gas Buddy's head of petroleum analysis, Patrick DeHaan.
We've seen the national average decline for seven straight weeks, bringing it to its lowest tally since March at about $3.38 a gallon.
Nine states are seeing even lower prices, under $3 a gallon.
Americans aren't driving as much in the cooler weather.
And they could keep dropping this winter. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
With Black Friday savings all month long at the Home Depot, you can get more holiday doing done with appliances that come with all the jingle bells and whistles you could wish for, like ultra-large capacity LG laundry sets, America's most reliable line of appliances per independent consumer study. Save up to $900 on select laundry sets with Black Friday savings, including top brands like LG at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. So minivans, sedans, JDMs, roll out. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. And with eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Wildcats at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department is starting their next firefighter cadet program this January. To be involved, you must be between the ages of 14 and 21 and available the first Wednesday evening of each month for training. Applications and references can be turned in at the fire station. The cadet program starts January 3rd. As hunters get ready for deer season, CWD is making another appearance in the North Woods. A deer farm in Oneida County has tested positive for chronic wasting disease. The positive result came from a 4-year-old white-tailed buck. The farm is now under quarantine. If you need to dispose of a deer carcass this hunting season, Portage County Solid Waste partnered with the DNR and has a dumpster on site for disposal through January 31st. You can have your deer tested for CWD there as well. Just place the deer head in the self-service kiosk located next to the carcass disposal dumpster. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance of flurries. Lows around 27. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, 39. Lows around 27 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 50.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 9th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At part two today, we're going to have our friend Jasmine Carbajal join us, associate 4-H educator with Wood and Marathon Counties, UW Extension. Right now, in studio, we have with us Karen Wolf. Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Thank you very much for being here. And we also want to welcome in Amanda Dolph.
Yes, good morning.
Oh, Pam, I nailed the last name. I never get last names right. That's awesome. Amanda, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
We appreciate you guys here today to talk about the best Christmas ever. We're going to talk about that and the wonderful vendor event that is also going along coinciding with this. And it's one of our favorite events in the area. We love this event. Before we go too far into the details of the event and the vendor event, I wouldn't mind if you guys don't going into a little bit of the history of the event and how this started and some of that. You guys mind doing that? I don't know which one of you would want to jump on that one or anything. Oh, yeah.
Sure, I'll take that one.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you.
Yeah, so Wisconsin Rapids Area Best Christmas Ever started 3 years ago. It is a national program, so it actually started nationally in 2011. Mm-hmm. And Matt Tranel, who's with Premier Realty Group, heard about this through some other realtors and just thought the community needs this. We need to do something like this in our community. So I actually got involved last year when I started working in Matt's office, and I'm grateful for the opportunity because the program just touched my heart and my family at Christmas last year. So this will be our third year in, let's see, if we go backwards, 2021, we had one family. And then last year we did one family. This year we got to choose three just because we're having so much success with fundraising.
That we are going to talk more about that real soon. I'm very excited about that. Actually, I want to talk about it right now, but we've got other things to get to. But that is so exciting. That's so cool. Can we explain to people what Best Christmas Ever is, just in case they may have not heard it before?
Yeah, absolutely. So Best Christmas Ever is a program that is going to help families who have fallen on hard times through no fault of their own and have at least one child under the age of 18 living in the home. The family is nominated by somebody. It could be a family member, as long as they don't live in the home. It could be a friend, a coworker. They are nominated, and then our committee gets all of those nominations, and last week we finalized that. And then it goes over to the BCE office. They approve everything, and just Tuesday we were able to make all of those beautiful calls to those nominators. And I hate to say it, but we made all three of them cry.
So. Yeah, I imagine. I usually don't be surprised, everybody, if I'm tearing up by the end of this interview. I mean, I even get emotional. I can't imagine how those families feel. And I should mention, journalistically, this one hits close to home for me. I was one of these kids. I came from one of these families that would have been benefited from a program like this. I wish they had had something like this when I was a kid. And I know talking to families that this has benefited. One of the beauties of this program is for families like mine growing up that way, one of the things that kept us from reaching out to a program like this or to anybody was pride. Was kind of this idea of, well, my mom and dad feeling like they couldn't do something for their kids. Like, every parent can relate to how horrible that feels and what that does to our pride and our self-esteem. A program like this does not do that to people necessarily. It's so much more of an assist of a hand than it is helping so much. It's kind of like, hey, everybody goes through rough times. We're just covering it this time. You know, you got it next year. We'll help you this year. That kind of thing. It's such a assist as more of a, oh, let us, you know, help you kind of thing. And I know that I'm splitting hairs here a little bit, but if you are in that situation, that splitting of the hair makes a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. It is hard for families, especially during the holiday season, to step up and say, I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time. One of the families, the event just happened recently within the last month, right? And that's one of those things that just happens. And you know that in the back of their mind, the first thing they think of is the holidays and Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's just something that we can do for them to take a little bit of the burden off.
Mm-hmm. Karen, you touched on this a little bit. I'm curious how you both got involved with the program. So for you, it kind of happened organically, it sounds like. You just happened to be working at a business that has this, or Matt has this.
Yeah, yep. So I actually worked up at the Community Foundation in Stevens Point. Mm-hmm. So I have a heart for nonprofit work. And when I left there and got the job with Matt, it just fit perfectly that I was able to walk into a program that does something for the community to help out. So yeah, I'm blessed that way that I get to be a part of the program, but I always tell the guys, regardless of anything, I will always be a part of this program.
It sounds like Matt didn't have to twist your arm on this one.
No, not at all.
Take a lot of convincing or anything,
right,
which is really cool. That's really good to hear. Thank you for sharing that, Karen. Yeah. Amanda, I'm curious how you got involved with the program.
Sure. So, I am always trying to be involved in fundraisers in the area. I don't just pick and choose certain things. I like to help and just be a helpful community member. Mm-hmm. So last year, we were coordinating a vendor event separate from the Best Christmas Ever because I hadn't heard of Best Christmas Ever. And then our events actually landed on the same day last year. And so I had reached out to Karen and said, hey, we're going to have community members coming into our vendor event. Is there a way we can reach out or help or have a donation basket or send people your way? Just to kind of coordinate the two events, even though we were in different locations, different events and even on the same page when we first started planning these things.
Sure.
So, she was more than willing to allow me to share her event. Our event last year didn't include any fundraising aspect of it. It was just a vendor event to help people get their holiday shopping started. And so to add the fundraising part to it, we had a table set up to say we're supporting the Best Christmas Ever. Go check out their event. This year, and after that event last year, we made the decision to kind of combine forces, do one event, have the fundraising and the vendor event, shopping event, which is on Widow's Weekend, so it's one of the busiest shopping days of the year, together. So we've combined our events together so that the community can just come to one location, get their shopping done, support a great cause. So we've been working on this since last November. I helped with a couple other events throughout the year just to kind of start the fundraising efforts, but this event coming up in the next week and a week is going to be probably our biggest fundraiser of the year.
That's a beautiful story. That's awesome. We get the chance. I'm spoiled in this job. I have a lot of nonprofits to come in and I get to talk to. And I get to every week pretty much talk to Terry John, CEO of Your United Way. One of the things I've learned from her on air, off air, we are so much stronger together. And this area is so smart about this when it comes to our nonprofits working together and finding ways to combine and join forces. We have evidence of that all over the place. Our area is doing better in certain areas than most because of the way that we have joined forces and combined it. But it's cool to hear. A lot of the times that stuff happens out of necessity or out of an organization working behind with another organization. This is something that was really, you know, grass-rooted. You guys decided to do this. You guys saw this connection and everything, which I think not only makes it even cooler, but shows that how great it is when we communicate with each other, when we work together and combined. That's really powerful. And we have evidence of that. Karen, you mentioned this before. Usually it's one family that we're able to feature. We actually have more. So I want to get to that in a moment because I'm very excited about that, if you can't tell. But as long as you set us up, Amanda, I appreciate you doing that. I love a good segue. We can go right into the vendor event coming up and talk about that. The vendor event is Saturday, November 18th, the fallback vendor event, 9 to 3. What is this event, Amanda, and what should everybody know about this?
Sure. So our vendor event out at the fallback on the 18th is we have almost 40 vendors. I think we will hit 40 vendors.
Nice.
So those vendors consist of direct sales vendors, crafters, bakers, local small businesses, joining forces to set up just a, kind of like a mini mall, if you will say. So people can come and shop, get their Christmas shopping done. But in addition to that, while you're getting your holiday shopping done, we will have a very large amount of baskets to raffle off. We have some incredible silent auction items that people could bid on to help raise funds for Best Christmas Ever. We'll have a Bloody Mary bar featured. And I do have to say thank you to Jen out at Hoozle's Bar. She's bringing her Hoozle's juice to to our event to share those award-winning Bloody Marys with us. And we'll have other 50-50 raffles. And we will also have a DJ, our my most favorite DJ Shane, playing some Christmas carols for us and kind of leading the way along the day with the events throughout the day. So,
Is there? This is an awesome event. This sounds so great. And I did my homework on this, and I was still surprised to hear how many vendors. That's really impressive. Is there room for even more though?
We do have a few more spots open. We did check out the venue space. We do have just a couple more spots. So if anybody would like to join us, if you are direct sales, a vendor, crafter, somebody just looking to sell something homemade, they can contact me either through the event page, through Facebook. My name's out there. Or they can email me at amandadolph@hotmail.com.
Excellent. We'll get that information out there again before we wrap up, Amanda. Thank you for that. The event is fun. You say raffle, and at least 30, 40 people are going to show up just for that, let alone all these other nice things that are attached to this event. The baskets, the silent auction. We love these kind of things. So it certainly brings people out and going to be a fun part of the event. But the vendor aspect of this, so many of our vendors are part of our ag industry or part of our other industries that don't necessarily get the spotlight very often. And these are usually most of the time families that need these opportunities, need these avenues to be able to sell their merchandise, especially getting through winter or any of these things. So an event like this, while it is fun and for somebody like me that has to shop for my mom, and this is the only kind of items she will have, like I can't buy some at Walmart for her. She will not take that. I have to buy it at something like this. It's really great coming up for the holiday season to have something, but it's just so much more important and so great to see something celebrating and giving our vendors and so many of these people in these industries an opportunity that they may not have otherwise. I think it was originally a great idea, Amanda. And then for you guys to join forces on this one, that just makes a good idea great. You know, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Again, the vendor event is going on over at the Fallback, November 18th. The vendor event, 9 to 3. Be sure to keep that in mind. Bookmark that, everybody. Karen, we were talking about this a little bit, that every year, the last handful of years that the Best Christmas Ever has been going on, you've been able to take care of one family, help out one family. And that, I cannot really put in the words what that must mean for you guys, for the family, for everybody involved. Even for us as a community, as outsiders kind of watching this happen and everything, you can't help but have your heart sing when you hear these stories. You're telling me that my heart's going to be singing like nonstop now? Because we got three families?
Three, yes. So this is one of those situations where you are so grateful that you get nominations, but you read them and you instantly, your heart just breaks, right? And you have to look at, and we talked about this as a committee, you look at these applications and how do you say that your need is greater than somebody else's, right? So that was the hardest part for us, especially because, you know, the three families we did choose, very tough, very hard situations that they're going through. And we all looked at each other and went, you know what? We've already raised $10,000. We've got this really great event. We know the community is going to help out in the end. Let's do what we can for three. Like, whatever it is, let's just put it out there and try. And I get goosebumps when I talk about it. Because it's just one of those where we just couldn't make a choice. We couldn't say that one was more needy or not, and it just happened that way. So we're just all going to come together and do it.
That's so dang cool. That is so, so darn cool. And you mentioned that you've already been able to contact these families, or you're still going to, so they don't know yet?
So the families do not know.
Okay.
The nominators know.
Gotcha.
The program is hush-hush, so
sure,
this is a great time for me to mention, if you do hear anything or rumblings of a family being chosen, just keep that under wraps.
Yeah.
Because what we do is we work with the nominator very heavily from now until early December, just the behind-the-scenes stuff we need to do. And then we will start to open it up to their local, you know, friends, those circles. But really the whole point is the week of Christmas we do a surprise drop. And we get that family either at their home or at another location, and they have no idea what's about to happen. And that's the part that just makes all the difference. So
there's certain moments and certain things in life you can't put into words. And this is one of them. But there's a billion great words in the English language, and none of them apply. None of them are enough. None of them. I can't imagine for you and the team what it must feel like to be able to do this. But I also don't want to make light of having to make a decision like that. We're very thankful that you didn't have to make too hard of a decision, any harder than normal, you know, would be in this, and being able to choose three families. But that being said, we can't guarantee that every year, but we'd like to. And we can do that with everybody's help out there. You were able to do that this year because of how the great response that you got with funding, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had some amazing business sponsors who have stepped up. We've got Solaris. We've got the Crowbar, Key Savings Bank, Conexus Cares, local USW 59 out of Domtar. Forgetting somebody, but we have the list on our Facebook page, and those beautiful organizations have all stepped up. We have social media sponsors who have sponsored $500 already, and then just the community in general showing up for the events that we've done already, and just already committing to knowing that this program is going to make a difference for our local families.
I just to cover your bases here just a little bit, because she doesn't have it in front. Kara doesn't have it in front of her. I'm cheating. I have it in front of me. The IC Premier Realty Group, the Kiwanis Rapids are on here, and the Outpost Ranch that is on here as well. And Key Savings Bank. I want to mention them as well. All organizations we talk about a lot on the air here, because these organizations are often tied to events like this. I always like to mention that when we talk about buying local, supporting local, I personally like to support businesses that support us, that support our community. These are all establishments that I will be at and I will be shopping at and using and that, and we encourage others to do the same. And thank them very, very much for being a part of something like this. This is another one of those things when we talk about sponsorships and that we I don't think that we ever really get to really get into the weeds on. But it's one thing to put your name to something. Everybody's an adult. You understand the PR end of this. But an event like this, it's so much deeper than that. Yeah, it's nice to get some free advertising, you know, and that. At the same time, they don't need that. These are businesses and companies that are doing very well and doing just fine. This is more about them showing that they want to be on this side of things and showing where they put their pride and the pride in their community, where they're going with that.
Yeah, exactly. And Solaris, Old Premier Realty Group, has been the lead team captain for all 3 years. Solaris last year in December hopped on with the business sponsorship, and right away again the beginning of the year gave us. So they're a 2-year sponsor. But I'm sure that most of these businesses are going to look at this and see it, and it's just going to become a regular thing for them to do.
Yeah, well said. Yes. Do want to thank Ida's Sports Bar and Grill and Rome Snow Bandits, your social media sponsors, I see.
Yes, and Mosier Electric is our other one.
Yeah, Mosier Electric. Great, great groups, great group people all around.
Yeah.
Appreciate them. One of the things also, so being a part, whether you're purchasing or buying things through these businesses, or you're just directly input, you know, giving to the cause here. We greatly appreciate that. And, you know, we haven't even gotten to Christmas this year, but we all know how Christmas is. Like, as soon as Halloween ends, there's Christmas decorations out. There's people talking Christmas. There's Christmas music. Why not be that way about the funds we give and when we're able to donate to things? And so there's never a bad time to donate to a cause like this. And the work that they are doing, you get the evidence of it. You see it. We're able to help three families this year because of this community. And big thank you to all of them for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming up, you know, if somebody is interested in being a part of any of those drops, we open up for the community to come to those. We would just ask that you message us through the Facebook page to find out, because it isn't something that we're going to just put out there.
Yeah.
Then they're going to know. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get involved in any way, please just reach out to us. We are happy. We will take more help in any avenue that it is, any suggestions or ideas. So.
We'll get that information out there before we wrap up today. We've just got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to touch on just a couple of little things. With an event like this, it's a bigger event now, bringing on the vendor event along with it and that. I'm sure that it seems you could use volunteers. Is that the case? Could you guys use some volunteers for these events?
Yeah, absolutely. If somebody wanted to step out and help us that day, there are plenty of ways that we can put people to work when it comes to events like this. More hands make the work lighter. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. And I don't think that we did mention, in addition to the donations, we will also have a gift tree with gift ideas on the gift tree. So if people are wanting to support the family directly, not knowing the family, we won't tell you who the families are until we do the drop. But there will be trees not only at our event at the Fallback on the 18th, but there will be other trees out in the community that people can pick up a gift tag and purchase a gift directly for the children of the families. Well, even the parents, the whole the families do get at least 10 individual gifts. So if the community would be interested in helping just purchase the gifts, those trees will be out in the community as well.
That's beautiful. Do we know where those trees will be yet, or those are still being sent out? Yeah, we got a little while here beforehand, so I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we know everybody's going to want to get on this because Black Friday is always the big shopping day. We know for sure Key Savings is going to have a tree. We're just trying to connect with a couple of other local places that we can set one up, but watch our Facebook page because I'll go ahead and announce when all of that is finalized and where the trees will be.
If you're able to get that info to us, and we can talk about it on the air as well.
Yeah.
And if you guys are looking for a place, I'm sure that we got room here.
Great.
And Pam may actually like that. Pam may, you know, she might get a kick out of that.
Good. That'd be great.
We definitely want to help any way we can. An event like this is something that it brings everybody together. And I, no matter how your lifestyle, how you grew up, or where you're at in life right now, I feel like this is one of the most relatable things ever. When it comes to, I think almost every parent or every person has been in a situation something akin to this before. So if you want to be a part of it, we encourage you to. And we'll get on that in a moment. I'm curious, is there anything that we haven't touched on this event? There's a lot of layers to it, and I want to make sure that we hit on everything. And we got a couple of minutes here. So is there anything I missed, Amanda? Is there...
I don't think that we missed any of the important details, right? So the event's going to be held that day. It's a one-day big event that we do a fundraiser for the organization Best Christmas Ever. Mm-hmm. So it is. We'd love to see you from 9 to 3. Stop out whenever at the Fallback. Otherwise, we are still seeking donations directly on our website.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the organization itself goes, I feel like this is probably one that not a lot of people in the community know about, so I encourage them to go out to the website, read the story, watch the video.
Mm-hmm. have tissues.
Yes.
Have tissues.
There is a really great video of how this program works, how the family is surprised, how it really really benefits the family. I guess that's how I actually wanted to help. I watched the video. It's out on the website, on our Facebook page. And it just to spread the word about Best Christmas Ever, because when we're out there asking or talking about the event, talking about this organization to the community, a lot of people are like, what is it?
Yeah.
So it is important, and we do appreciate being here and letting us get the word out.
You know, I tell people this all the time, usually off air, but with events like this that are in their first couple of years, it takes some time to build them. But we're fortunate that we're in a community that once people do hear about this, they don't forget. It's bookmarked in their heads, and they remember it the year after and the years forward and stuff. So I do think that I agree with you, Amanda. I think that this is something we just need to bring more attention to. And we're certainly going to help here doing that. That's our gig. That's what we do around here. And we'll be talking about this leading up to the vendors event and bringing attention to that, as well as when it is announced, families are announced, celebrating that. That'll be our good stories of the day. That's for darn sure. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm so jumping out of my skin waiting for this. That's going to be so much fun. As we're touching on this, Amanda, again, you set me up perfectly. Can we touch on the vendor event, the details of that again for people?
Sure. So our vendor event, it is called the Wisconsin Rapids Area Best Christmas Ever Vendor Event. We will be out at the Fallback in Kellner. I did forget, and we shouldn't forget, to say thank you to Nate out at the Fallback. Hmm. He was very generous and allowed us to have this venue. It's a beautiful venue.
Thank you, Nate.
We'll have, yeah. So we will be out at the Fallback November 18th, 9 to 3. We'll have 40, we'll say 40 vendors. We'll have a DJ all day, Bloody Mary Bar, raffles, silent auction, 50-50 raffles. Mm-hmm. And I did hear rumor that we might have Santa visit.
Ooh.
Yeah, I sent him a letter. We're just going to have to see how busy he is this time of year.
Ladies, we buried the lead. We might have Santa? I already thought this was a cool event. That is a get right there.
Yeah.
He is very busy. It's not easy to land that, but that's pretty cool. That should be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Again, meet them at the Fallback on Saturday, November 18th from 9 to 3 for this wonderful event. Going to be a lot of great vendors, 50-50 raffle, silent auction, many, 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 many fun things, and also a great way to help out our friends at Best Christmas Ever, because this is a fundraiser for that. And as far as Best Christmas Ever, if people want to volunteer, maybe they want to donate, know more about the event itself, Karen, how can they do that?
So you can head over to our website. It's www.rapidsbce.com. That'll actually take you to our donation page, but on the donation page, you'll see the link to the Facebook page where you can get even more details on events, the trees that are going to be up, everything that's going, seeing where we're at with all the donations coming in, and you're just going to be able to stay up to date in both of those places.
It's a really good idea to do. It's the best way to keep up on things over there and to reach them if you need to. Mm-hmm. Both of you, thank you so very much, not only for putting up with me and my questions, but more importantly, what you guys are doing for our community. We greatly appreciate you. Thanks for it, and keep up the great work.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us and helping us get the word out about this program.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll talk again real soon. And we'll talk with you in just a moment. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The 911 lines went down in Wood County last night. It happened around 7 p.m. and lines were down for about 2 hours before service was restored. Many people in the area received messages by text, phone call, or email regarding the 911 lines being down. These were not scam calls, despite them coming from a Massachusetts area code. The Wood County Communications Center experienced a phone carrier issue that caused the lines to go down. The messages people received originated from the dispatch center from the new mass notification program. There will be more information soon regarding the new program intended to alert Wood County residents in the case of an actual emergency. Mayor Shane Blazer proclaimed Saturday, November 25th, to be Small Business Saturday in the city of Wisconsin Rapids. He calls on people to support small businesses and merchants that day and to shop small throughout the year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance of flurries. Lows around 27. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, 39. Lows around 27 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 50.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 9th, 2023. Have your host, James J. here, and we are joined right now by our good friend, Jasmine Carbajal, Associate 4-H Educator with Wood and Marathon Counties. Jasmine, good to have you with us.
It's always nice to be here.
It's been a little while, it feels
It's been a little bit, yes.
That's nice. How you been?
Good. It's been a busy fall, and now it's almost the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just been trying to do lots of programming.
You guys keep so busy over there at 4-H. And I'm sure part of it is the kids.
Yes.
They're pretty busy. They'd like to be active. That keeps it going. But you also, you and Laura have been doing such a wonderful job of not only bringing events that we know and we like, but creating new ones that bring new people to 4-H and show more and more families of how great 4-H is and how much it's evolved. So many different things. If you don't mind, Jasmine, I'd like to start there with some of the events you have coming up.
Yes, thank you. So, I am really excited. I'm here promoting today two events that are happening at the Macmillan Library here in Rapids at the beginning of December. And so one of them is actually Loteria. Have you ever played Loteria, James? Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I heard it as a kid. It sounds real. Wow, that actually hit me with nostalgia right there. I haven't heard that in a long time. What's going on with that?
So Loteria is a... So December is always really a special time for me as being Mexican-American because there's just a lot of traditional things that I remember doing with my grandma growing up. And Loteria is that classic, you know, game. It's a lot like bingo, but except, you know, instead of numbers, you do different images of different things. Right. And then you fill your card and you win prizes or money, depending on who you're playing it with. Like, if you come to my house, you better bring some change because we're playing with money.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to try to do something to really honor just kind of something traditional in me and share that with our youth here. And so I was like, Loteria, let's figure it out. And so we all love to play games. We all have those board games or just favorite games you play as a family. And so Loteria is what that game is for me. And so... The event is free. It's going to be happening on Saturday, December 2nd, from 1 to 2:30. And what we are going to do actually is that I'm going to have it formatted so each family can make their own card.
Cool.
So usually, like, you know, you can buy the set and it comes with the cards and stuff. So this is going to be a little bit different because, you know, I'll have lots of different pictures of different things. And then the youth and the families can make their own cards. And then we'll play it. We'll do a couple of rounds. And then we'll learn a little bit about just the history of the game itself and have prizes. You can't play a game and not have prizes.
Yeah. What a great idea. What a great idea. At first, I had forgotten about this. It was so long ago. But a good friend of mine growing up, one of my best friends back in Chicago, Ricky, his family is Mexican.
Okay.
And we played this.
Yeah.
But one of the things we do, because we usually played it around this time of year, and Hanukkah is usually around this time
true.
Of year. So Ricky would want me to bring my gold coins for my, like, playing dreidel and stuff.
I love
to over
it.
To this. And we play for those coins and stuff.
Yes.
I've forgotten all about that.
Yes, it's a thing.
I wish, though, Ricky and I had thought of making our own cards. That's a great idea.
You know, it's a little spin on it. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, there's always this conversation of, like, what's authentic, what's not. And it's like, to me, you know, I'm bringing a little part of myself, and it's okay to make a little spin on it. Like, it's okay to make your own, and it makes it more fun, it makes it different, more engaging. And so I'm excited about it. I think I still have to plan kind of what different, because really, like, the original Loteria, you know, there's 54 cards, I think. And so, like, those 54 are like images that are classic, you know, anything from like animals to just people to like careers, things like that. And so trying to come up with some different things will be fun. And then seeing kind of what kiddos and youth and families come up with will be fun too. And then that way, in theory, like, we'll have one different winner every round.
Oh, that is really, I didn't think about that part, but yeah, that is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some beautiful layers to this, Jasmine. First off, I don't focus on this all the time because I don't like to wear this card out. But all adults out there understand that the world we live in 2023 and how things can be. So opportunities to show other cultures, for kids to learn other cultures, this is how we destroy hate. This is how we destroy those things. Kids don't care about that stuff. They learn it from their parents. They learn it from adults.
Mm-hmm.
So if more adults are pushing and giving kids more opportunities to take in events like this, they end up growing up more with that brain and that in their hearts. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's something that I know means a lot to you and I.
It does.
And certainly means a lot to many of our listeners out there, if not all of them.
Yes.
So that's a beautiful part of this, too, the kids getting exposed to other cultures and different things like that, which is just fun. There's also winter is coming.
Yes.
Parents are going to be needing more board games, more things for their kids
to do. Yes.
And kids have played Go Fish a lot.
They played a lot.
Here's a brand new game for them to learn that may help some of those winter nights.
Right. And when we talk about, like, inclusivity, to me, it's like celebration. And here I'm giving you something that, like, you'll get to learn about it. You get to just have fun that day. And then you get to keep celebrating a little bit of my culture, right? And a lot of the culture that is a lot of our families that live here in Wood County, in a special way in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also very special to me. So when I thought about this, I was like, this is going to be perfect. Because you know me. I usually do food, and that's not a big deal. I love cooking, but I really wanted to do something different this year to still kind of honor a little part of me. And this is going to be so fun.
Well, the more when kids and people learn more and more about a culture, you understand more. So much of hate begins with fear and not understanding. Mm-hmm. The more you understand, the less likely that is to happen. Mm-hmm. So that part of this is wonderful. But yeah, it's also just a cool event and a cool game. I mean, I don't want to lose sight of that either.
Yes.
That's a really fun idea. What are the details of that? Yes. Are dates of that?
Yes, of course. So it's going to be Saturday, December 2nd. So there's still some time. It's going to be at the McMillan Library here in Wisconsin Rapids from 1 to 2:30. It's free, and there is a registration link, which people can find on our Facebook page, on our website, or call us, mm-hmm. Get in touch with us if there's questions, or if there's more questions just about maybe how that day is going to go down, like, feel free. I'm always available.
Yeah, and we'll get you that information before we wrap up with Jasmine today. We have another event coming up
as well.
We
do. In Extension, we have lots of different educators from different departments. It's not just 4-H. It's not just ag. We have our nutritionists. We have just all community
natural
development,
resources.
Natural resources. Yeah. So our natural resources educator, Anna, and I decided we wanted to partner for something a little unique. Mm. Scat. Poop. Isn't that funny?
That's great.
Aren't you already excited about it?
Yes, I cannot wait to hear what this is.
So at Fair this summer, we had such a great engagement we brought some fake animal prints and some fake animal scat, and people that were coming to our table had to identify which animal that belonged to. And we're like, let's take it a step further. So we're going to kind of bring that back of new audiences. It's also at the McMillan Library. So the community here, they get to kind of come and play with that, prints and the scat, the fake scat, and then learn about it, right? Mm. Like at the fair, we didn't have as much of a chance because they would come, get some information, and they were moving on because there was so much stuff to do.
Yeah.
And so here, we're really going to take some time to learn about the different animals, and that's where Anna comes in because that's her strong point, the natural resources educator, and also just even diets, right? What makes the scat, the poop, different shapes, different colors, what goes into that? I know it might sound weird, but it's interesting. You never know, right? Youth that are into this, or youth that might be exposed to this, and then they're gonna want to be into that. And then, as I said before, I always bring the food. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make some scat-looking treats.
nice.
To make it fun and to just, it's just going to be a really good time.
So there is a lot of interesting information and data that can be found through scat, and certainly, and people like Anna James and that can bring attention to that.
Yes.
And that is an interesting aspect of this. But I also think that's, look, 4-H really designed to bring youth and get them interested in categories or learn about things they may not normally do, or some of the stuff that school doesn't always cover.
Right.
This might bring them in. It's like the first lines of a novel. You catch them. You catch them with that. Yes. And then all of a sudden, before they know it, they're learning a bunch of stuff that they didn't even know they were going to learn.
Yes.
And maybe sparking something in them. So that's another beautiful part of 4-H that I have found. And I know through you and Laura, I've learned that this is a great opportunity for kids to do things, to have fun, but you also just never know what it might spark in a young mind. And researching a little bit of scat, understanding a little bit more of what the diet is of a bear or something like that gets them interested in bear life or wildlife.
Right.
Maybe they go work for the DNR or something. We just don't know what can happen through something like that, which is one of the more beautiful parts of these events to me. Is no matter what we're talking about, what we're doing, that's an underlying kind of side story, if you will, that I think is really cool about this.
It's really exciting, and it really just showcases some of our variety of projects that we have, right? And it's true, exactly what you said. You just never know what's going to spark something in a youth or even a family member into I'm going to run with this because this is so fun and now I want to learn more. Yeah, so we wanted to be really just aware and, intentional about how we wanted this program to go, because it is scat, it is poop, it's true, but it's fake poop, so don't worry.
Right.
But, and then we wanted to also add a component of some sort of treats or food, because this is going to be on December 5th, so we wanted to give youth something different to bring to their Christmas time, and just
idea.
Just something that they know how to make and then they can make and they learn how to make it. and then they can use it whenever they want to. It doesn't have to be Christmas, but you know, I just thought it was funny. Like, you know, you bring a scat looking treat for your family.
These kids are gonna love that. They're gonna love that, being able to do that. Hey, Christmas, yes. Here we go. That's gonna be fun.
It's not gonna be great.
I also would have loved to have been a fly on the wall with you and Anna, like working this out and figuring this out. That had to have been a really fun conversation.
I know. But I walked into her office. It's like, hey, what do you think about poop? Like animal poop. And and it really, you know, I'm excited about it because, one, it made us be more creative and actually like dive into something that was a high interest at the fair. So a different event. And we saw this like, oh my goodness, people really are enjoying identifying these things. So like Riley, like really diving in. And two, it really highlights another one of our program areas at Extension and how we really like can work together across the different departments, because there everything that we have at Extension is for our community. And so whenever we can partner up together and bring something like this, it just really showcases that we are here for our community, that we are here putting on programming and we're relevant and we are here to serve the community in really awesome, fun, educational things.
I think a lot of people say those kind of things, but not everybody backs it up and not everybody can show their work. And you guys do. Here is a perfect example of that. You notice people, this wasn't something that came from higher up, it was something that you guys thought of by seeing people from the community, how much they enjoyed this particular part of the fair. That springboards into an event like this, because you're paying attention to your community, you're listening to your community. I love that we have evidence of it right there, let alone that's something that is accessible to people, that you guys are accessible to people. I think that is a beautiful part of this too.
I'm excited for that. So hopefully people, listeners, can join us. It is for youth third grade and up, just because there is a cooking component that we'll be doing with some of the treats and stuff. And but it's Tuesday, December 5th from 6 to 7 at the McMillan Library here in Rapids. There's also a registration link for that. Okay. So we'll make sure that we give the information on how to find that later. But yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
It's going to be a blast. Before we wrap up today, we'll give the details of both of those events again and that information of how they can contact you. And as long as we were kind of touching on that, I do want to go back to the idea of the community interacting with you guys and creating, helping create events. We've got a long year, you know, and plenty of time to fill. And always look, I imagine you guys, and you've mentioned this before, Jasmine, that you guys are always looking for opportunities to do more with the community, to do more of what the community is looking for. So when it comes to that, do you get a lot of feedback from people? Could we give you more? Or are you getting too much?
No, I think that, you know, we are always open. I don't think there's ever such a thing as too much feedback. Yeah. I think that especially because a lot of the feedback that we get, we, like you said, we really listen and we put it, you know, to work. And so I think that we get good feedback, especially at events like the fair, where we see a lot of people. Sometimes we don't have spaces where we're out there with tons of people, but the fair is a perfect opportunity for us to say, like, hey, what's working? What do you want to see? I know I mentioned it before, even partnering with business, right? Like, if businesses want to try something, like, I've been wanting to do this, but then they don't necessarily know how, like, that also helps us to, like, hey, let's do something unique and different. But no, I think that anybody that wants to reach out, we are always there, you know, to really like connect with people and say, what do you want to see? What do you want to see your youth maybe exposed to? Your kids, your grandkids, what kind of things can we do? So we are always open, and there's no such thing for me anyway as too much feedback.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more with you. I encourage our listeners all the time to do that.
Yes.
There's no such thing. To me, there's no such thing as bad feedback.
Correct.
It's all data. It's all being able to be used and can help whether it's Jasmine or myself or any of us do our jobs better for you out there.
Absolutely.
That's our gig.
Absolutely.
What we do.
Yeah. And it helps us really like think of new things, right? Like if there is something and then it's like, okay, now we got to start thinking about where can we do it or what are the resources that we need and who else can we invite into this collaboration? So it really is beautiful and it's exciting, and that's how we stay relevant too.
Yeah, well said. We're speaking with Jasmine Carbajal, Associate 4-H Educator with UW Extension. And Jasmine, you mentioned that you and Anna are working on this together, you and another Extension ally, teammate over there. Yes. So, do you think you or whether it's 4-H or other groups might do more of that, working together? Like, you know, Science by the River comes to mind and things like that.
Right. No, absolutely. I think that, you know, when we look at programming, we find ways to even bring in Hannah, our nutrition educator from Foodwise. We try to look at ways that we can work with Jackie Caratini, our family educator. And, you know, she does a lot around mental health.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, we're like, well, how does mental health play a role in an event? It can be huge. You know, a lot of times we like to partner with some events with her because of that, because we have lots of different strengths and lots of different program areas that when you put them together, kind of like the SCAD event, you know, it's just, it's magic and it's just something really cool.
It brings the attention too to these different you know, layers, groups of at the Extension. Gives them more attention to some media. You know, maybe they haven't heard of some of the work Anna's doing or some of the work you or Laura are doing. And we talk about this a lot with our nonprofits. When we've seen in this area what happens when we come together, when we join forces. This area, like you know, any rural area in the last 5 years has been through a lot. But our area is doing better than most because of us joining forces, because of so many of our nonprofits or the Extension and working with other groups and everything. We're better together. We're stronger together.
I agree.
When it comes to these events, too, it's an exciting thing to think about also, because, you know, whether it is What's That SCAT or What's the SCAT, or that kind of event, or Science by the River, we've seen really great, cool things happen when joint forces are joined.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting times.
I wanted to touch on, just take a little time to talk about the different clubs that are a part of 4-H and the availability to kids out there. We're in the about a quarter into the school year, and certainly parents might be thinking about that and looking for that for their kids.
Yeah, what's really unique about our 4-H clubs, you know, as opposed to some other clubs that, you know, like a school club or some of the other clubs that you might think of, is that it really is like family centered. So you can come as a family to any of our 4-H clubs, and we have tons of them throughout the county. So we have quite a variety of spaces. So, you know, it doesn't really matter where you live. We probably have a 4-H club that meets either there or around there. And you can come as a family, and it's open to starting with our Clover Buds, which is our kindergartner and up, like all the way through 13th grade. And to be a full-fledged member, it starts in kind of third grade around that area. But it's, again, like if you have littles, like that's okay. Bring them along. Start getting them exposed. And at a club level, it's so unique because, you know, at a county level, Laura and I, we try to put on as much programming as we can, and then there's only two of us. Like, there's only so much, and then I cover two counties, so there's really only so much I can do during the year. But our clubs, with our leaders and our volunteers, they can really engage their youth every month, and sometimes more than once a month, right? I think that's the very unique thing about our clubs, is that the commitment is once a month, and then you are part of this family where you can then do other events and keep doing community service and some other opportunities that, like, Laura and I are very limited in because our time.
It's only two of us.
So our clubs really are the space where youth thrive and where they learn and where they keep expanding their sparks. And so, yeah, and we have so many of them, right? We have so many. So please, like, if you're out there and you're thinking about, like, I want to have my kiddo in 4-H, how do I do that? Like, we have our website. We'll make sure we give you that. And you can look at the clubs there, the ones that we have, what regions they're, where they meet, who the leaders are, like, all that information is on there. So you can even give them a call directly. It might be somebody you already know and just didn't know that they were a 4-H leader or volunteer.
And something like this, Jasmine, what really sings to me about it so much, too, is what you were touching on right away with the families. We understand that it's a busy life. It's a crazy life. Being a parent or a kid is difficult on all levels. And sometimes it just feels good to drop a kid off at an event.
True.
You know, hey, you got basketball practice. Here you go. I'll be back in an hour. You know, that kind of thing. But there's not enough opportunities for families to do things like this with the kids or something, or even just to show up. Maybe you are are still kind of dropping them off, but you're in the background.
Yes.
And you get to take all this in. Yes. For one, the reassurance and what that can give to parents is nothing to take lightly. Mm-hmm. But again, coming back to it, also fun. Can be fun for the parents. Can be really exciting for them.
I bet, yeah.
And they get involved. They get caring about these things. And that only builds the relationship with you and your kids more.
Yes.
I will say this as somebody who has my kids in their 20s. They're only getting older, and we don't want that necessarily as much as we do some days. it's hard. I look at my kids sometimes and I'm like, they don't need me anymore. it's difficult. Yes. But I have good relationships with them because they were built young. Mm-hmm. And that's important. And this is another layer to that where you're able to do these things with kids, with your kids.
Absolutely. And like what you learn as an adult, you know, our generations are changing. Like their younger generations, they're changing. So to have a space where you're really, like you said, right, interact with them and see them, but then also learn from them. Mm-hmm. Like that is something that we take very seriously in 4-H. Yeah. Like youth have things to teach us as adults, as professionals, as just people in the community. Our youth really are our future leaders. And so the fact that, yes, we're trying to foster and give them skills, but they're also teaching us. And as a parent, I think that's also so powerful. Be in that space.
Agreed.
Be willing to learn.
Oh, well said. I've only been teacher for a handful of years, but to me, I learned right away, teaching is a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really, really is.
Yeah.
Jasmine, we've talked about a couple of great events today. Can we go over the details of both
for
of those?
For sure. So we're going to have our Loteria time. Which is going to be a fun, unique game that we're going to play, that we're going to make together, you're going to learn about, and you're going to make your own cards. And that's going to be Saturday, December 2nd. It's from 1 to 2:30 at the McMillan Library. It might sound like it's a long time, but we're going to have so much fun. Time's going to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And the event is free, but we are asking people to just register. And they can find that information on our site or on the library site as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have What's That Scat? Yes, Animal Fake Animal Scat, and also some scat-looking treats, and that'll be at the McMillan Library as well on Tuesday, December 5th from 6 to 7 p.m., and that is for youth third grade and up versus the Loteria time. It's for all families. All youth can come, and that also, the scat also has a registration link, which can be found on our Facebook page, which is Wood County 4-H. It can be found on our website, wood.extension.wisc.edu, or if people want to just call me and need more information, or just might want me to sign them up because whatever reasons, no internet, whatever, 715-421-8440. They can call us directly.
And one more time with that phone number.
So 715-421-8440.
It's a radio trope. You have to give the number twice.
Twice.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Next time.
Thank you. You are such a good team.
I love
you
it.
Play along. You're so awesome. And if people want to find out more about 4-H and that, encourage you. I could give you the website, but I encourage you to type in your search bar, Wood County 4-H.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Just to test it out all the time, pops right up.
Right up.
I'm right able to get over there. And McMillan Library's website, McMillanLibrary.org, you can find out more information about some of these events as well.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We can't wait to see you at any of these events.
Cannot wait. Looking forward to you and I hanging out again already. Thank you so much for the time, Jasmine.
Thank you.
We'll take a break and we'll be out back with more Midday Magazine tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Daily humanitarian pauses started today in Gaza, allowing Palestinians to get out, and a flow of supplies over the Rafah border crossing. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The Israelis have said there will be no military operations in those areas during those times. The Israeli Prime Minister's office released a statement saying there will be no ceasefire without the release of our hostages.
The FBI says about a dozen suspicious letters have been sent to elections offices in five states, some with traces of fentanyl. Investigators say no one was hurt there, but they're still conducting field and lab tests. The letters reportedly came from a location in the Pacific Northwest, in Washington or Oregon. West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin's giving up his Senate seat. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
He announces he's going to end his Senate career in January 2025, not running for re-election. It was going to be an uphill climb in a state that is overwhelmingly red and went for Donald Trump big in 2020.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Enrollment is up at the Universities of Wisconsin for the first time since 2014. There are 1,700 more students enrolled than last year. There are now a little more than 162,000 students enrolled at state universities throughout Wisconsin. 10 of 13 four-year schools are seeing increases, but enrollment at two-year branch campuses is down again. Most voters in Wisconsin say they don't want new legislative maps before next year's election. That's according to the latest Marquette University Law School poll. 51% tell the survey the state should keep the current maps until after the next U.S. Census. Democrats and Republicans have proposed drawing new legislative maps. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to take up a lawsuit to change the maps before the 2024 vote. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The city of Marshfield suffered a sewer leak in the main pipe that serves the north one-third of the city. They closed several streets and city forces worked to make repairs. They were able to stop the leak a little after 7 p.m. Wednesday night. It's estimated that approximately 950,000 gallons of untreated sanitary sewer was released into the surface waters of McMillan Creek. Water was immediately pumped from the creek to maintain and mitigate the sanitary sewer overflow. The release was only into surface water and poses no hazard to the drinking water system within the city of Marshfield. City staff are working with the DNR to properly collect and treat water affected by this overflow. Mid-State Technical College is offering a new series of business classes on Saturdays. Called Build Your Business Saturdays, courses will be four sessions long, held on Saturdays from 9 to noon in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Over the back fence.